Things are always in change. One of the things that started to change 2 years ago was some of the administration at the Commission for the Blind. Some of the things have remained the same, but some of the things are changing. Recognizing the structure of our bureaucracy, people who are second in command can't always affect all the change you want, but people who are second in command can often affect some of the change that we need to have made. The gentleman I'm about to introduce to you has affected a lot of change, particularly in the vending program. Those of you who remember the vending program and what I became to refer to as the Dark Ages from 98 to 06, remember that the vending program was not a warm and fuzzy place. It was not a vendor-friendly place to be. And that began to change. Some light began to appear from the Dark Ages of that program, and the program has emerged from that into, once again, a program that really has active participation by the vendors. Peter Crowley, the gentleman I'm about to introduce, has contributed mightily. We had Peter last year. He was introduced with a song from The Who, and the song from The Who was "Who Are You?" Because if you remember when Peter, like my introduction went last year, when he first came to the commission, I and Charlie and a few others said, "Who the hell is Peter Crowley and what is he doing here?" We found out who Peter Crowley is, and to our pleasure, have found out who Peter Crowley is and why he's there. And the one thing I can say about Peter Crowley, which is something that we haven't had yet, he's not there yet because he's still a heartbeat away. But if Peter Crowley were to move to where where he might, or at least in the position he is, Peter Crowley is the highest-ranking blind person in appointed office in the state, governor aside. But at the Commission for the Blind, Peter Crowley is an honest-to-goodness blind guy who knows where we've been. He's been there for all his life, and he knows where he's been. And I think Peter, at least up until now, Peter, you have your head screwed on straight. When it comes to unhinged, I'll let you know. You can't help it. You work for the commission. But when it comes unhinged, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, right now, let me give you a friend from the Commission for the Blind, Peter Crowley.
Wait, does that make Carl Captain Steuben? Good morning, everybody. And I want to first thank Carl and you nice folks, National Federation of Blind here in New York, for inviting me back. Dr. and Mrs. Maurer, thank you for being here. Mindy, Ray Wayne, everybody, thank you from the National Federation. I'm really pleased to be here once again. Your counterpart organization has chosen not to invite me again this year. Brian Daniels, my supervisor, associate commission, asked me to bring along his warm wishes, regrets that he is not able to be here. Okay. A couple of commission housekeeping areas, and I don't mean to belittle what I'm about to say, but I want to get into something else right after that. CBBH is really proud, and I'm proud to say this, that we have passed the RSA standards and indicators again this year. And what that means is we are off double secret probation, if you remember Animal House. No longer do we on a special work plan or whatever we were with RSA. We've successfully met the standards and indicators. And for the third year in a row, our employment numbers are up. I do want to speak very clearly, although I'm the assistant commissioner and myself was born legally blind, been blind my whole life, you should never be fully satisfied with the services you receive from the Commission for the Blind. You should want better every year because that should be our goal and that should be your desire. If you ever tell us that the services are good enough, then it's time for your organization to disband. Now, in a minute, I'd like to get into something else, but first I want to recognize we have an executive board, and we're very fortunate to have several talented people from the National Federation of Blind New York represented on CBBH's executive board. We have Mindy Jacobson, who's on the executive board. We have Julie Phillips on the executive board. David Stair is on the executive board. Maria Garcia is on the executive board. And Charlie Richardson, who is one of the busiest men in New York State, is the co-chair of the executive board while also being the chair of the vendors. I want you to know the executive board really needs to show courage and push the envelope. If what we have hypothetically is good, you want better. If what we have is better, you want great. You should always want more, and this executive board needs to challenge the governor, the legislature, and the Commission for the Blind to give better services every year to citizens of this state, no matter what age, who are legally blind. Now, if I may be somewhat self-indulgent or digress, I'd like to use some anecdotes of my own life to talk about challenges. Challenges are what makes life interesting. That's according to Mark Twain. I want to discuss a little bit about what it entails to overcome and make a challenge successful. Several years ago, I was canoeing the Hudson River from Albany to New York City. And I was in a solo outrigger canoe. I remember sleeping on the floor of somebody's house in the Poughkeepsie area. And maybe it was from a lack of sleep, maybe from just having a wild imagination. But I started wondering, what would it be like to do something even more challenging? And that night around 2 in the morning, while laying on the floor of someone's house in Poughkeepsie, I dreamt up the idea of solo paddling the English Channel. Now understand, I was only about halfway done with this challenge of canoeing the Hudson River. I got home after successfully canoeing the Hudson River and started working on and putting feelers out on the process of kayaking the English Channel. What you find interestingly in life, and it's a philosophy I recommend everyone adopt, if when you want to pursue a goal, a challenge in life, if you speak with someone and the answer is no, assume you're talking to the wrong person. And I'll repeat that. If you're going to pursue something in life and you're told no, assume you're talking to the wrong person. That's how you succeed. If the challenge is important. And I say that because when I first started trying to reach out to the governments of France and England to find out about how to successfully get permits or what's involved, I was not getting help from either government. In fact, you'll love this. I called the French consulate to the United Nations, and their response to me was, "You're an American. Why are you calling me?" I had to give them an elementary geography lesson and explain that the channel was between France and England, not between New York and New Jersey. Having said that, as I learned, the French, being the French, do not allow unconventional crossings to begin in France. You know, they don't have much of an adventurous spirit over there. I guess after Napoleon, it all went downhill. When trying to deal with the British, it took 6 to 8 months to finally be directed towards the Channel Crossing Association. I thought they were a clandestine organization I couldn't find out about. I didn't make them aware of my blindness because I figured all they cared about was my application fee. But during the process, I didn't want to count on having to rent or get a kayak over there. My concern, which we've all heard in this room at different times in our life, some good, meaning, well-meaning, sighted person will tell us it's for your own safety that I won't do something. I didn't want to run into that risk of going over there and finding nobody would allow me to rent a kayak over there to solo cross the English Channel. Knowing that I wanted to put things in place for success, I looked for companies that make portable kayaks. Ironically, the company that was most out to work with me was a German company, not an American or Canadian company. maybe they were as delusional as I am. But Klepper Kayak, who makes the kayak now that's a portable kayak for over 100 years, and hopefully the one I used wasn't one of the originals, was generous to allow me to borrow their kayak to assemble and kayak the English Channel. One of the sticking points is you have to have a licensed escort vessel bring you across because the channel is a busy shipping lane. Also, sometimes it's better to go into an adventure with some ignorance. And I've had experience. I'm 51 years old, and according to my family, it gives me 51 years of ignorance. As you paddle over across the English Channel, underneath you are the Spanish Armada, high-speed ferries that have sunk, shipping container boats that have sunk. It is good that I did not know the detail of what was below me beforehand. Ignorance sometimes is bliss, and it keeps us moving along. The challenge, what I thought, was twofold. The primary challenge was to physically be able to cross the channel, and I viewed the primary challenge was the physical side, not the blindness. But I did recognize that the blindness, the visual handicap, was going to be a challenge. I had an escort vessel to follow, and they would help guide me because, again, by law, no unconventional crossings without them. So I was doing my crossing like any person who would be sighted. A sighted kayaker would have to have the same escort. What I couldn't prepare for at 4 in the morning that morning as I put my kayak into the water off the beach at Dover was what was going to happen a few seconds into the trip. The escort vessel was having trouble starting his engine. He flooded his engine. When he finally started his engine right in front of my face was when you flood an engine, it was full of fumes. Yeah, thank you. And if I could have seen where the vessel was and the fumes, I could have held my breath for a while. Instead, I ingested diesel fumes. Yeah, exactly. Shortly into the paddle, and I apologize for telling you this before lunch, I commenced vomiting. And I got very good at it. Take a sip of water, vomit. Try to eat some trail mix or power bar, vomit. I literally was vomiting and dehydrating for hours. The challenge shifted. I thought the blindness was going to be a large challenge. That became a non-issue. I was more worried about the dehydration and the vomiting. So we could say I left a piece of me in the channel, I guess. As I kayaked, the dehydration was getting worse and worse. To the point where my legs were cramping. Severe dehydration will lead to muscle cramping. This continued nonstop for about 5.5 hours. The escort vessel captain asked if I wanted to stop, not fully understanding he caused the predicament. He thought it was seasickness. As we know, everyone in this room and proud members of the NFB know, quitting is not an option in life. So I continued to ingest and discard product into the channel. 5.5 hours into the journey, 5.75 hours, and something remarkable happened. I sipped some water and didn't vomit. I started drinking water like a mad person who was in the desert for 10 or 12 days without water. The beauty of dehydration, as horrible as it makes you feel, as terrible and as painful as the cramping is, as horrible as the dizziness is, you can hydrate rapidly. And I hydrated rapidly, thank goodness, because as I started hydrating and the day became longer, the seas got worse. The good news is the German company who came to be my partner in this journey across the channel makes the most seaworthy portable kayak in the world. As the conditions got worse, the kayak better performed. 7.5 hours after leaving Dover, England, I successfully landed in Wasant Bay in France. As Mark Twain said about challenges, they are what makes life interesting. Please understand, Peter Crowley, who I understand that I am very fortunate. And let me explain why. I get to stand on the shoulders of those that come before me. To suggest that I've broken ground or have achieved greatness would be arrogant. I feel lucky for accomplishments and fortunate, whether it's climbing Kilimanjaro, whether it's crossing English Channel. That has happened as a result of those that have come before me. I've never been a member of a consumer-based organization, meaning this one or any other, but I want you to understand, I recognize that Peter Crowley and every person who is blind is elevated and gets to stand on the shoulders of the hard work of the National Federation of the Blind. When Dr. Jernigan and now Dr. Maurer go to court, fight companies, fight for families to be allowed to keep their children just because the parents happen to be blind, they elevate every person who's blind in this country's statute and ability to lead, to live, and participate. Whether one likes your organization or not is irrelevant to this point. This organization elevates every person in this society who's blind, and people who don't recognize that are ignorant to the facts. So I want to personally thank the National Federation of the Blind for lifting me up onto your shoulders and helping me have a better life. Can I?
Laura, can we let Peter continue until he's done? He's got about another 5 minutes.
No, I just... Turn the heat up, Carl. You're still going through Change Your Life, Carl? You want the heat up?
Yeah, in a minute.
All right. Returning from England and kayaking the channel, I recognize, and I've always known it, life is not about being self-indulgent in what you've done for yourself. Like the National Federation of the Blind, have you helped anyone else, elevated anyone else? More meaningful for me than the trip across the channel, which was personally meaningful, I spent time at a day camp in Long Island for blind children, where I had expert instructors and myself spend the morning with 15 teenagers, young children who are legally blind, from a day camp at Heckscher State Park on the Great South Bay, and we introduced those kids to kayaking. Was the goal to make these kids lovers of kayaking? No, they don't have to be. But the goal was clearly achieved, because on their bus trip back to the camp, the kids started talking about other things they wanted to try that they never tried before. And that was what I was hoping to have happen. Recognizing also we have great responsibilities everywhere. I know how fortunate I have been in New York State and the United States. So about 3 years ago, I went to the Panama Consulate to the UN and helped coordinate a humanitarian mission for the Helen Keller School for the Blind in Panama City. It's a beauty. Everywhere you go, the school's Helen Keller, no matter where you go in the world. And we got much-needed equipment for the School for the Blind in Panama City. My goal was to kayak through the channel from ocean to ocean, but for their own legal reasons, whatever else, that was never realized. But more important, we got equipment to the School for the Blind in Panama City. I did not tell them what equipment they needed. I emailed them brochures, catalogs, and asked them to prioritize their wish list. Did we get everything they probably wish they could have? No, but I'd like to believe we made a small difference. Having said that, what I am working towards now is to combine my love of the water and desire to help others. And I am going to start doing adventures and humanitarian missions to more developing countries to help in some way elevate the life and quality of opportunities for the blind in those countries. Will I be able to do enough to make huge differences? I'm not going to lie, no. But change happens one step at a time, and that's going to be my goal. And if the National Federation for the Blind wants to be part of this with me, I embrace that. And if the National Federation for the Blind wants to wish me luck and not be part of it, I embrace that also. The commitment and need to help others is a commitment that should never end. Lastly, I started out the quote from Mark Twain. Challenges are what make life interesting. Oh, let me finish the quote. Overcoming them is what makes it meaningful. The National Federation of the Blind, you folks here are leaders and really help the last part of that quote come true for many people. Thank you for doing so, and I'll be happy to take questions.
Laura, we'll do it quick. We're getting closed. We were ahead of schedule before, now we're behind.
Oh.
Laura, quickly.
Okay.
Is this for Peter? Is this a question
yes,
for Peter?
It's for, first of all, accept
okay,
my
Peter,
apologies for
okay.
interrupting your wonderful presentation. I have a question. Now, the Commission for the Blind, its director specifically, is supposed to see to it that blind people get the services which they deserve. Now, my question to you is, and I don't know if you can answer it, but how can we carry on any kind of a dialogue with the gentleman, meaning the commissioner, refuses to speak with us? How can he get to know us?
I appreciate the bluntness of your question because
right.
it's a fair and appropriate question. I can speak for my position where I am here. I accept phone calls directly. I avoid nobody. In fact, I was meeting with someone this morning after the merchant's breakfast, and it turned out what we were doing was celebrating their successes. As assistant commissioner, I can help and I can intercede and work with people. Yes, we must make sure that appropriate services are provided for vocational outcomes as well as needs of elderly and children and the children so they can have dignity at this closer to the sunset. I'm not trying to bury people, and an optimistic future at the front end. You can call me directly. Because I am not in charge, but number two doesn't mean I can't have an effect. In fact, right now I've been working with a parent in New York City who has needs for his six-year-old child. Although I'm the assistant commissioner, doesn't mean I can't help and doesn't mean I can't have effect. As far as questions as to why you're not having this dialogue with Mr. Daniels, he told me to express to you his regrets that he can't be here.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair, Peter. Let's not put Peter on the spot. I just commend to the executive board the simple fact that you folks need to ask the appropriate questions. The fact is that Mr. Daniels has expressed his regrets to not be with us. However, next week he will be at the ACB convention in New York. I suggest that you either come to both of us or neither of us. I offer that to you folks to consider the nature of services that you are charged with, the five or six of you that are here. I will talk to you individually about that. I think I have all your numbers. anyway, having said that, Laura, we need to address that with Brian, not Peter. Thank you, Peter, though. Thank you for being who you are. It's sometimes just as good to have the colonel on your side as the general. Sometimes the generals really don't know what they're doing, and colonels really get it done, and Peter's in the operation, the colonel.